Kedushas Levi Parshas Toldos, Tafshin Ayin Ches. Haba Leinu L'Tova. Be'ele Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holid es Yitzchak. These are the Toldos of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. It's very obvious that something unusual is happening in this pasuk. If it's Yitzchak ben Avram, then obviously Avram was holid es Yitzchak. So says the Halakha Berditchever. Haklal ksiv batorah ki b'Yitzchak yikar lecha zara. The Torah has established in Bereshit Parashas Aleph that the true heir to the throne of Avram Avinu is Yitzchak. Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lecha zara. Yitzchak is the true zera Avram. Af al pisha gam yishmal nolad me Avram. So you might say, wait, hold on a second. Remember last year? Those were here last year. Remember how like the Arachaim HaKadosh was always trying to find ways to discredit Yishmal and to always push Esav aside and to always, right? So the Berditchever also, in his love of Klal Yisrael, tries to solidify those connections. And that's what the Pasuk is really saying, that Avram is holy as Yitzchak, to the exclusion of someone else. So says the Kedushas Levi, the Pasuk tells us that Yitzchak is going to be the true Zera of Avram, even though there's a child, Yishmael, who was born from Avram. Afal pichein, hishtalshulis ha'avos haya, imbino yet tzadik yet nikra zara. The way that it used to work, when our foundation was being laid, if a child would walk in the way of his father, then he was the true zera of that individual. So for Yitzchak to be the son of Avram, he has to walk in the ways of Avram. Yishmael's failure to walk in the ways of Avram, because obviously on a simple level, a son is always the byproduct of the father. But when a dynasty, when a nation is being established, it's the son who continues the commitment of the father who becomes the true son of the father. So even though Yishmael was the child of Avraham, when it comes to the Ishtalshulis Havos, when it comes to the original family tree of the Avos, again, if a child is a tzaddik and walks in the way of the father, then that child is called the Zera. V'im lav eino nikra Zera. But if he doesn't walk in his father's way, then he's not the true, again, heir to the throne. Ach mea Avos ve'elach eino kein. But now the problem, of course, becomes, so that what happens to a Jew in 2017, Tavshanayin Ches, who's not walking in a way that's true to the Avos? Are we disqualified because we're no longer maintaining that link in the chain? So the Berditchever says, no, that's not how it works. Again, when the Avos Ha'olam were being established, right, the Avos were based on what? Based on a child's willingness to continue his father's tradition. But from the Avos and onward, ain't okay, and it doesn't work like that. Meaning once the Jewish people were established, you're a Jew no matter what. Such a chashuv idea, no? I have to just mention it. In this week's Parsha, it says, V'yahav Yitzchak as Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv, v'rifko heves as Yaakov. And many Svarim point out that Yitzchak loved Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv, because of something, because of a particular behavior. However, Rifka o heves as Yaakov, Rifka loved Yaakov. No? Why? What did he do? What did Yaakov do that made him so beloved in the eyes of Rifka? And the answer is nothing. Because the love of a Jew, from Yaakov and onward, is just a love that's not taller in anything. Okay? Unlike the beginning of time. So again, when Yitzchak is going to follow in the ways of Avram, he will become the Zera of Avram. And that's what was predicted in Bereshis Chaf Aleph. Ki be Yitzchak yikar lecha zara. That Yitzchak is going to be, again, the true Zera of Avram Avinu. But from the Avos and onward, it doesn't work like that. Rak Av hamolid ben, haben hu Zera ha'av. From the Avos and onward, if you're a child of the Jewish people, then you're a Jew. Then you're considered a child of the Father. V'ein tzarech lasos shum pu'ula she'nikra zera av. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to do anything to earn that relationship. Aval etzal avos hishdal shel shelhem lo hayachin. Again, already by Yaakov you see that Rivka loved Yaakov, not even based on anything. But certainly from Yaakov and on, if you're a child born to Jewish parents, you're a Jew. Period. But when the Avos were being set up, it didn't work like that. Rak im yatzadik yanikra zera'av. If you walked in the way of the father, then you were considered that spiritual child. Again, biologically, of course, Yishmael is also a child. But spiritually, Yitzchak is the child of Avram. V'im lav eino nikra zera'av. And if you don't walk, if you don't maintain the righteousness of the father, you're not called that father's child. V'nim tzaha ben tzarech lasos pe'ula she'yanikra zera'av. So therefore, the child needs to do something in order to be worthy of being called the Zera, the seed, and the child of that father. The Hainu Shia Tzadik. V'toldahu lashon pu'ula. So, Chavis, now let's go back to our Parsha. Parsha's told us. Ve'ele toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham holidus Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak had toldos. Meaning what? The way that Rashi translates toldos by Noach, right? That the Maisim Tovim of a Tzaddik are his toldos. So Eile toldos Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was a true Tzaddik and he walked in the ways of his father. Again, he says toldos is a lashon of pu'ula, right? A tolda means that which is produced. So toldos is what you produce, your efforts, your behaviors, your actions. So because Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, because Yitzchak had actions that were similar to his father, that's a true indication that Avram holidus Yitzchak. That Yitzchak is considered the son of Avram Avinu. Unlike Yishmael, who would not walk in the ways of his father. Although Chazal say that maybe Yishmael, the person, was chozer b'tshuva at the end of his life, but it wasn't enough to become the one who's going to carry on his father's legacy. Okay, so, and I think this is true even Bizman Hazeh, meaning, even though what the Berditcher was telling us from Bizman Hazeh, a Jew is a Jew, regardless of his behavior, and that's how we paskin, as we've said many times, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, Machlokas and Kedushin Daf Lamed Vav. Are you a child of Hashem if you acted like a good boy? Or are you a child of Hashem even if you act like a bad boy? We paskin like Rabbi Meir that you're a child of Hashem even if you act like a bad boy. But I think there's still an important lesson in this, that obviously you're more of a child if you walk in the way, right? Enachanami, Bizman Hazeh, you're a ben regardless of your pu'ula. Rivko Heves Es Yaakov, not based on anything. But obviously the more that one clings to the way of Avinu Shva Shemayim, the more one is a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so it certainly increases HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love towards us when we prove that we're going to be tzaddikim in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzaddik Hashem. We try to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So that's an important piece to just understand the relationship between Yitzchak and Avraham and to explain a pasuk that's very strange. Ve'ele toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham holidus Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak had told us, he produced, again, many mitzvos and maisim tovim in the way of his father, that makes him a true son of his father. Okay, skip the next little piece, maybe the next two paragraphs. My edition has two paragraphs, and go to the piece that says O Yivuar, the second O Yivuar. There's one right after we're up to, and then two paragraphs later, there's another O Yivuar Ve'ele told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holidus Yitzchak. Dineyesh ledaktik tahavile lemichtav yolares Yitzchak. Why does it say holidus Yitzchak? Holid, says the Berditchever, is Lashon Hifil. Mahu holid Lashon Hifil. Holid makes it sound like Avram is actually going to play a role in the children that Yitzchak's going to produce. It doesn't say that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, that Avram was the father of Yitzchak. It says that Avram gave the power of producing children to Yitzchak. As if to say that Avram's almost going to have a hand in the children that Yitzchak is going to produce. Shema Shmo, Shepu'ulas Avram Haisa, She Yitzchak Ye Yachol Laholid. That Avram, so to speak, created the possibility of Yitzchak himself having children. What does that mean? So the Berditchever explains, you have to understand Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yaakov needs an Avraham in order to be born. Yitzchak alone can't produce a Yaakov, and here's why. Ach nira kavanas hakasav. Dine yadua she'Avram avinu olav ha'shalom ovad lahabore baruch hu b'midas ahava. What is the mila of Avram avinu? What was his most outstanding characteristic? Chesed. Ava, here he calls it Ava. Ava and Chesed are synonymous. What was the midah of Yitzchak? The Yitzchak avad lahabore baruch hu b'midas gvura, or he calls here Yira. Right? So Ava and Chesed is Avram, Yira or gvura is Yitzchak. Okay, and that's why we've explained many times that Avram's Chesed, if Chesed is not balanced, what happens? Chesed turns into what? It turns into arayos. The Torah says in Vayikra, don't sleep with your sister, it's chesed. Chesed means a perversion of love. So Yishmael becomes a perversion of love. Yitzchak, who's gvura, who's yira, who's awe and fear, that intensity of Yitzchak, right? If that goes awry, gvura, that goes bad, instead of being inner strength, it becomes outer strength. You get an Esav who's murdering and killing and raping and taking advantage of people. So Yitzchak is gvura. Avram is chesed. This is gvura, left hand. Yitzchak is Gura, Avram is Chesed, right? What's Yaakov? Says the Berditchever, Yaakov avinu alav hashalom b'midas ha-tiferes. Yaakov is tiferes, which means splendor, some type of blend, a very beautiful, harmonious blend of the midah of Avram, of Chesed, of Ava, blended with Yitzchak's Yira or Gvura. And when you're balanced, that's the best. That's why Yaakov doesn't have bad kids. He doesn't have perfect children because no one's perfect. But Yaakov has 12 Shvatim who are all tzaddikim. They make mistakes. They sold their brother. They made some big mistakes. Right? But at the end of the day, they're balanced. Yaakov's world is balanced. Mitaso shleima, Chazal say. His bed is complete. His children didn't go off the derech. There's no Yishmael and there's no Esav amongst the Shvatim. Again, there's some Shvatim that are better and some that are not as good. But they're all, Chazal are able to look at the big picture of Yaakov Avinu and say, Yaakov is balanced. Yeah.
Esav is a version of Yitzhak.
Mm-hmm.
And is Yishmael somehow a version of
100%. Yishmael, what does Chazal say in Gemara Yevamos? When Yaakov, when Avram's on his way to Akedas Yitzchak, right? And he says to Eliezer and to Yishmael, Shvu lachem po im hachamor, you stay here with the donkey. So the Gemara in Yevamos says, stay with the donkey, Yishmael, because you're an am hadom al hachamor. You're a nation that's comparable to a donkey. Right? Now, hachamor means chumrias, means physicality. And that's why Yishmael is very perverse, actually, when it comes to sexuality. You read what the Quran says about a man's right to do whatever he wants with his wife. Right? Even though they're so tzanua with the burqas and everything, right? But that's all a cover up for what goes on behind the scenes. There's a lot of very immoral, sexually corrupt behavior in the world of Yishmael. Because Yishmael is the Ava, is the chesed of Avraham that's become perverted. Right? But it disguises itself as being very tzanua and very but behind closed doors there's some very sick things that take place. Okay? So now, Chevra, so why can't Yitzchak on his own produce a Yaakov? Why is it Avram holy as Yitzchak? Not that Avram just gave birth to Yitzchak. Avram gave Yitzchak the ability to give birth. Because Yaakov is a mix. Yitzchak can't produce Yaakov on his own. The whole point of Yaakov is that Yaakov is the blend of who? Of Avram and Yitzchak. So let's read inside. Yaakov is the midah of Teferes. V'hu amuda de'emtza Isa. Kolul mitrein midos chesed v'gvura. The Zohar says that Yaakov is the middle beam, so to speak, the emtza isa, the emtza, the middle, and he's kolul. He's made up of, he's combined of trein midos, right? Trei means two in Aramaic, two midos, namely the blending of chesed and gvura. So now we understand our pasuk. It's gevaldik, no? The Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. If you want to learn about the generations, you want to learn about the future descendants, right, because we're about to get into the world of Yaakov and Esav, the children of Yitzchak. So if you want to understand the children of Yitzchak, Ve'ele told those Yitzchak ben Avraham, Perish, Machmas, She Yitzchak Haya ben Avraham. The fact that Yitzchak was the child of Avraham, She'avod la'aborei baruchu b'midas ha'chesed. Avraham's midah was Ahava or Chesed. Zehu garam lo she'yamot told those. It was because Avraham, so to speak, gave of himself into Yitzchak, that the blend of Avram and Yitzchak would allow for the birth of Yaakov. Sheyatza Yaakov, kolol mitrein midos. Yaakov, the blend of Avram and Yitzchak, emerged from Yitzchak. And that's what it means, Avram holiness Yitzchak. It doesn't just say that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Avram gave Yitzchak the ability to give birth to Yaakov. Because it's the blend of Avram and Yitzchak that produces a Yaakov. So Avram actually plays a role in the production of, in the creation of Yaakov. That's why there could be such a notion that Yaakov and Avram have this relationship. So much so that Chazal even say that Avram was saved from the Kibshon Eish because of Yaakov. Yaakov asher poda as Avram. Yeah, whatever that means. But you see that there's Yaakov can only exist because of the blend of Yitzchak and Avram. Yeah.
How is it possible that Avram and Yitzchak then were not a perversion of that Mido?
Meaning, how did Avram himself?
How did they themselves?
Why wasn't Avram right? Guru? Right.
How is that not a? If you
question.
Need the blend, then shouldn't it be a perversion?
Right.
Like, how is it not a perversion?
Right. Meaning, why was Avram himself not a perversion of Chesed if he was only Chesed? The truth is that Avram's only chesed until he goes to the Akedah. I mean, eventually Avram does balance out. The fact that Yishmael was, I guess, born to Avram, I don't know, maybe Avram, you know, wasn't balanced at that point. Which again, with the Yeridos HaDoros led to Yishmael. And Yitzchak is balanced out by his wife Rivka. All the Avos and the Imos balance each other out. But I don't know, that's a good question. How was the person himself? You know the question? How was Avram himself able to maintain a purely chesed orientation and not end up like Yishmael? I mean, why Dafka his child becomes corrupted in that way? Because it was part of the Yerida Sadoros. But it's a good question. I have to think about it a little bit more. Okay, we'll skip the next little piece, Vayatar Yitzchak, and we'll go to the next, O Yivuar. O Yivuar ki Yitzchak bikesh bezchus ishto. Let's read the pasuk. The pasuk says that Yitzchak and Rivka are struggling to have children. Vayatar Yitzchak laHashem lenochach ishto. Yitzchak daven to Hashem, opposite his wife. What does it mean, opposite his wife? What does it mean to daven opposite his wife? Rashi says, Ze omid bezav iszo, who mispalo? He stood in one corner and davened, and she stood in the other corner and davened. All right. There's a lot hinted to in that Rashi, obviously. What does that mean? He stood in one corner, she stood in another corner. It's like an early version of mechitza, that the husband's wives don't sit together in shul. What does it mean? He stood in one corner, she stood in one corner. Okay. But the pashup shad is, lenochach ishto, he davened opposite her. Physically opposite her. She was on one side of the room, he was on the other side of the room. Okay. It says the Verditchever, maybe Lenochach Ishto means something more. O Yivuar ki b'Yitzchak b'kesh b'zchus Ishto. Nochach Ishto means he davened that we should have a child in her zchus. Nochach Ishto, opposite his wife. Meaning, turned outwards, focused on his wife. Ki hu chashav atzmo she'eino kedai she'yater lo Hashem b'zchuso. Because Yitzchak in his humility said, who am I that God should answer me? But my wife's a tzedekis. This woman deserves kids. So he davened on her behalf. Right? Rather, he thought to himself, "Sheyater lo Hashem b'schus Rivka," and that's what it means. Ve'yatar Yitzchak laHashem l'nochach ishto, daika. Opposite his wife means on behalf of his wife. And that's always chavah. That's a huge technique in Chazal. It's always the best way to get your tefillos answered. Don't say, "I need this thing." Find someone else who needs it and daven for that other person. And the Chazal say, if you daven for someone who has the same need as you, you'll be answered first. You shouldn't necessarily use that other person to just get your tefillos answered, but if you can genuinely focus on someone else, then that becomes a tremendous technique. It's a very important technique. And there's remarkable stories of people having hatzlacha, where two people who were struggling with a particular inyan decided to daven for one another, and then they were both answered. Right? Sometimes it's a similar need, sometimes they just daven for each other with different needs, but it's an important thing. But Yitzchak in his humility didn't think, who am I to daven for myself? So he davened to Hashem, my wife deserves a child. And that's what Rashi says. V'zeu sheperish Rashi. What does Rashi say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Yitzchak and not to Rivka. Right? The pasuk says, V'yeyaser lo Hashem v'ta Rivka ishto. Hashem responded to him and his wife became pregnant. But the pasuk says, V'yeyaser lo. What does Rashi say? God responded to him. Rashi says, lo, v'lo la. Him, and not her. Because you can't compare the tefillah of a tzaddik ben Rasha, meaning Rivka, tzaddikus bas Rasha, to a tefillah tzaddik ben tzaddik, to a Yitzchak whose father was Avraham. So Yitzchak, being the descendant of a righteous person, it was more reasonable for his tefillah to be answered. So says Rashi, l'fichach, lo, v'lo la. So the Berditchever says, why do you have to say it twice? It says, v'yesar lo, Rashi says, lo, v'lo la. Then Rashi gives you the explanation, because a tzaddik ben tzaddik has a better chance of getting answered. And then Rashi concludes again, what does Rashi say? He says, l'fichach lo v'lo la. Why do you have to say it twice? You already told me. You told me the diok and lo. Lo, him, to the exclusion of her. Why do you say it twice? Why would you say it twice? So the Berditchever explains, zeh sheperish Rashi v'yeser lo, lo v'lo la. L'fisha'ena dome v'chulu, because you can't compare the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik to a tzaddik ben Rasha. Lefichach, again, lo, v'lo la. U'lechora masha pirish lefichach, lo, v'lo la, miyusar. Why does Rashi have to say a second time the words, therefore, lefichach, lo, v'lo la? That's extra. You don't need to say that twice. So he says, no, here's how you read Rashi. V'anira, de Rashi, bal ashmianu, Rashi's coming to explain as follows. Ki kasher kasavnu, she yitzlak bikesh b'schus rifka, v'lo b'schuso, v'nimsa, kasha Hashem yizbarach shamal etfilaso, Kenemar v'yesar lo Hashem, havamina sheneser lo kasher bikish b'zchus Rivka. Meaning, if it just says that God answered him, what would that mean? How did he daven? According to the Berditcher, how did Yitzchak daven? He daven b'zchus Rivka. So if the pasuk says that God answered him, what does it mean? God answered him b'zchus Rivka. So Rashi's coming to say that's not what happened. That's exactly Rashi's point. Right? Rashi's going to say, he davened for her and not for himself, but you should just know that Hashem answered him for him and not for her. Hashem answered him in his schus and not in her schus. You hear? Just see the words inside. Again. If it would have just said Hashem answered him, you would think, Hava Amina Shenesar Lo Kasher Bikish. You would think he was answered as he requested, namely, Bischos Rivka. Velo Bischoso, and not in his own merit, because that's what he asked for. And that's why Rashi explains, Zazet Pirish Vayesar Lo Hashem Lefisha Eino Dome. You can't compare the tefillah of a Tzadik Ben Tzadik, again, a Yitzchak Ben Avraham, to a tefillah of a Rivka Bas Besuel. Lefichach Lo Velo La. Therefore, says Rashi, you should just know, Klomar, Mashaneser lo Hashem, lo daika. Hashem answered him, not in the way that he asked, but Hashem answered him in his chus. Hakol b'schuso, v'lo b'schusa, kavanasa. That's the pshat. Now, so we're left wondering why. I mean, why was it that Yitzchak, you know, again, unless it's part of that theme in Chazal, that if you daven for someone else, right, it comes back to you. The person who always focuses on someone else's chus, that becomes a source of chus for that person. Again, we're left wondering why was it that Yitzchak was answered for Yitzchak as opposed to Rivka, especially since he davened on behalf of Rivka. Why would Hashem answer but not answer him in the way that he wanted? And what does that even mean? What difference does it make if it's Chos Rivka or Chos Yaakov or Chos Yitzchak? So we're left a little bit wondering. But again, the fact that this husband and wife davened together, I'll just say B'derech Remez, the Sfarim point out that Yitzchak plus Rivka is Gematria Tefillah. Because this is really the ultimate Tefillah. When a husband and wife are able to daven together when they have similar goals, similar spiritual aspirations, all the more so when the husband is able to focus on his wife. And Mistama, the opposite is also true. She was focusing on him. So that's the ultimate tefillah. Right? What's the gematria of Yitzchak? Yitzchak? 208. And Rivka? 307. It's 515. Taf pei lamede. Tefillah is spelled without a yud. Sometimes in Svarim you'll see it spelled with a yud, but that's not the correct. The correct spelling of tefillah is taf pei lamed hei. Tefillah. 515, right? Yes.
It seems like at the end of the day, the argument falls on itself because we said that we're more likely to answer Sadiq Ben Sadiq as opposed to a Sadiq Ben Rush or whatever you want to say.
Right.
So really, Hashem's not answering Yitzhak's prayers, he's answering Avraham's prayers through transit property.
Okay.
He's answering the prayers through the Spiso of Avraham, because if Avraham was ripped his father, you could argue that maybe her prayers would be answered.
It's the fact that Yitzchak, like we learned in the first piece, that Yitzchak is continuing the legacy of his father. So it's the combined effort. I mean, it's not just the fact that Yitzchak is the son of Avraham. It's the fact that he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. It's the combination of his tzidkus and his father's tzidkus, and that overpowers. Again, you could argue the opposite.
But Hashem doesn't answer it. It says the feedback below, so it's saying he's answering him. He's not really answering him with that. He is technically answering him, but
he's answering him, and he's answering him in the tzidkus of him. That's the Berzichur's point. Which is, that's the chiddush, that he didn't answer him on behalf of her, he answered him on behalf of him.
No, but you're saying that he answered his prayers, made also one reason because he was praying for Rivka, too, because he was the son of Avraham. So then it's kind of saying he's really answering Yitzchak's prayers, or he's technically answering Avraham's prayers, because it's based on Avraham.
Okay.
His father's Avraham, you could say that he's answering Rivka.
Okay.
He's Avraham's son.
And again, that goes back to the other piece, that Avraham was holy to Yitzchak, that Yitzchak's only able to have children, really, because of Avraham. Okay. Fits nicely. Yeah.
You know where it says that when you daven for someone else, that will be answered
for? I can look it up. It's a Rashi. I don't remember. Maybe it's right here. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to double check. Sorry. I should know, but I don't know. So I'll be honest. I don't know. Anyone know? All right. I owe you one. Leonardo, I'll get back to you. I owe Yoni Fleischman still something from Sunday. I didn't take a picture of that safer yet, the name of the Gvulas Binyamin. So I'm going to pay my debts. I Bezrat Hashem, I'll pay my debts. Yeah, what do we say in Hallel? I'll pay my debts. Nidaraya Shalem, Bezrat Hashem. Leonardo. Okay, it's not a nether. Fine, so let's go on. The next piece, Vatomer Imkein Lamazah Nochi. This is a Chash of Peace. What's going on? Rivka is struggling. She's trying to figure out. She's got all sorts of troubles inside of her. Yisrotsu abanim bikirba. The kids are kicking around inside of her, and she's very agitated, and she's very nervous. What kind of child is this? Kicking by shuls and kicking by places of avodah zara. What kind of crazy meshugana kid is this? A little bit into avodah zara, a little bit into the base medrash. She's very nervous. But Tomer Im Kain, If you read the Feldheim biography of Rav Baruch Ber, Leibowitz, the Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz, you'll see that the joke you just made is not actually such a joke. Because he says something like that. He says something like that about a certain institution. The Havin. Okay. Why is Rivka so bent out of shape? For the following reason. One of the remarkable rules of childbirth is that the more righteous a woman is, the less pain that she will suffer. Because the klala of Chava has exceptions to it. I mean, the curse of Chava that women are going to struggle in carrying a child and giving birth to that child and raising that child, that is somewhat directly connected to a woman's tzidkus. So the Arizal says, and Chazal already alluded to it, that women who are more righteous have less trouble during childbirth. So I always told my wife, as she got her epidural to make her childbirth that much easier. You guys know what epidural is? It's like a painkiller they shoot into your spine that women sometimes get when they're giving birth to make it a lot easier to give birth. So I always tell my wife that she's one of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos because she's able, you know, after the epidural kicks in, you know, she's no pain in childbirth. I say she's a very righteous woman because righteous women don't have pain in childbirth. Hashem gave the epidurals to the medical breakthroughs in our time because the women at the end of days are the most righteous women of all time. Say like no. It's fine. So Rivka didn't have the option of an epidural. Yeah, Rivka's in a lot of pain. So Rivka says, I guess if I'm in a lot of pain, then I'm what? Then I'm not. Tzadekes. Because righteous women don't have pain. Imkein Rivka shirasa sheyesh latzar. She's experienced all sorts of difficulties. Chashro bedaita shehi eina mitzidkanios. She says, well, if I'm suffering, I guess I'm not a righteous woman. Dimlo kein lo haya latzar ibor. I wouldn't be suffering if I was righteous. V'yadua demisha eino tov yefshor sheyishra bo davar kedusha. And we know that a person who himself or herself is not good, can't really produce something good. Now, you could ask a lot of questions on this, but something that's not rooted in holiness can't produce something holy. How does Avram come from a Terach? The truth is, as we've seen, Avram doesn't really come from Terach. Biologically, he was born to Terach, but then Avram was recreated, so to speak, through the Kivshon Hesh and many other experiences. But again, there's a lot of questions we could ask on this. There certainly are righteous kings from the Jewish people who came from wicked fathers. And there are righteous people throughout Tanakh who come from wicked sources or from less than holy places. And we'll see a piece in this week's Parsha about that. But says the Berditcher, we have some sort of klal that anyone who's not Tov can't produce a Davar Sheva Kedusha. Kamaimer Chazal, Chazal say, Kol Orev, let me know. Right? The raven produces its own kind. And it clings to its own kind. V'nei Rabboseinu Amru, k'shehaisa overes al Pesach batei midrashos, hayayaku mefarches latzeis. So Rivka's very confused. On the one hand, she's in a lot of pain, which means I'm not such a righteous woman. On the other hand, my kid is kicking every time I walk past the Beis Medrash, as if to say, the child inside me is very holy. So how could I be so unholy my tzaddik of a child is kicking to go to the Beis Medrash before he's even born? Im kein rasa sheyes bekirba ben echad, she said, I have a child inside me who comes from the holiest place. That every time I walk past the holy place, this kid is kicking to come out. And it's known that the root of all holiness is called Anochi. That's why the first word God says to us when we receive the Torah is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Did we ever have the Anochi share? We had the Anochi Chanukah share? You know that share?
Yeah.
How do you know that share?
Give it
Maser. Did I? Oh, give it Friday night. I gave it a Maser at the Tish. We were at Glenn's house. Friday night, I gave it. No?
No?
Shabbos afternoon? Yeah?
But you also give it Shabbos.
Yeah? So Anochi is one of the holiest words in the Torah. If not the holiest word, it's the first thing that Hashem ever said to us. Yeah? Anochi. Anochi, right. The Gemara says in Shabbos, because Daf Kuf Dalid, that Anochi stands for Ono Nafshi Ksivas Yehovas, the Gemara says. That I gave myself over to you and I wrote myself down. I mean, the Torah is Anochi. The whole Torah is Anochi. The whole Torah is Hashem in written form. Hashem giving himself, I, the ultimate I, the big capital I. Yeah? The big capital I. So Anochi is the Shorash of all Kedusha, the Hainu Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So So listen to what Rivka says. How many times does the word Anochi appear in the Torah? 127 times. Because Sarah lived 127 years, and Avram, after he became frum at age 48, till age 175, also lived 127 years. So there's 127 Anochis in the Torah, and every single Anochi, you could read it into the sugya of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So here's an example. The Bereishis gives us an example right now.
Who says that?
What does Rivka say? Who says the 127 thing?
Yeah.
I say that.
Bereishis
Rebori Olam. The fact that Avram lived 127 years from the time he became frum, Rabbi Akiva Eger says. And Rabbi Moshe Sternbach. the fact that there's 127 Anochis in the Torah, that's something I'm trying to develop. Okay, so look. So what does it say? Vayisroot tzu abana bikirba. Vizeu aperish vayisroot tzu abana bikirba. The kids are kicking inside of her. Shehayilu tzar ibor. She's struggling, so she says, what on earth is going on here? If I'm a righteous woman, so what's happening here? Right? Imkein chashva she'ina tova. Says, I'm not good. So she says, v'tomer imkein. If that's so, then lama ze anochi. Anochi is a code word for kedusha, for godliness. Yeah? You remember the vart from the Rebbe of Melech? Mashpia quotes this all the time. What does it say by Kabbalah Satorah? In Shemos Parachaf, Parshas Yisro. Vayadabra Elokim es kol advar me'ela lemur, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher tzisich meretz tzayim beis avadim. Says the Rebbe of Melech, in the Lekutei Shoshana, in the back of the Noam Elimelech. Also he has it in Parshas Yisro. Right, Bekitzer. Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemor. Anochi Hashem Elokech. You know what kol hadvarim ha'ela, you know what the whole Torah is about? Lemor, that a Jew should be able to say Anochi Hashem Elokech. That a Jew should understand what's found in those three magic words, Anochi Hashem Elokech. Right? That's kol hadvarim, the kol hadvarim ha'ela, everything. Hilchos Shatnez, Hilchos Shabbos, Taras Mishpacha, Kashrus. It's all about Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's all lemur. It's all one big declaration of I am Hashem your God. That's Kol HaDvar Me'el. That's how the Rebbe Reb Melech explained the first two psukim in Parachaf of Shmos. Okay, so Rivka says about herself, I see that I have an unbelievable kiddush inside of me. There's this child inside me that's bursting to get out, to run to the Beis Medrash. So she says, Vayisrotu Abana Bekir Baf, I'm in so much pain. Lama ze anochi. So then what's with this anochi? What's with this holy kid inside of me? Doesn't seem to fit. How could I be so bad and at the same time have such a holy child? Perish, ben echad shem is'ava l'kedusha. I have a child which so greatly desires kedusha. U'mizeh mochiach shehum mekor hatov. So that's a sign that I'm good. I'm holy. I myself am holy. Ve'ech shochen bekirbi. Sh'ani eini tova midiyesh li tzar ibor. But I know that I'm not good because I'm suffering. So she can't figure it out. I have a good kid, but I'm suffering, so I must be a bad person. So what's the answer? She finds out, Shnei goyim bevitneich. You know why you have trouble inside? It's because you have an esav inside of you. And that's not your fault. She's told, Shnei goyim bevitneich, ula'om mila'om ya'amatz. V'chulu. Lo kamo sh'ata choshevas she'in chatov. It's not that you're not good. Chas v'shalom. Be'emes ata tov. You are good. Rakatzar leida shalcha hu machmas sheshnei goyim bevinich shem zu l'umazu. But Kosh Baruch Hu says to her, I need to create an Esav to balance out Yaakov. So Yaakov is Rivko Heves as Yaakov. Yitzchak is the one who's getting confused by Esav. Kitzayid b'fif. Rivko Heves as Yaakov. She understands from this that Yaakov, again, is her true child, who's an expression of her Kedusha, and that's the Anochi inside of her. The fact that she's experiencing all sorts of struggles, that's because that's how Kosh Baruch Hu balances out the world. Pasuk in the seventh parak of Kohelis. Hashem balances things. Okay? Good, chavra. Enjoying so far? All right, let's go on. Let's go on. The next piece is a little long, but very kedai, so let's try it. Let's just go straight into the next piece. We need to understand, why does the Torah tell us about the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka? And it doesn't tell us about the marriage of Avram and Sarah. I'll tell you a nice word I thought of last night. Everyone wants to know why we repeat the whole story of Eliezer. It's so repetitive. It's just like the same. It's literally a recap of everything that happened twice. So I was thinking, I was trying to figure out why, like Dafka, in the context of Shidduchim, is there so much repetition. I could say a lot of different words. But I was thinking last night, where's the only other place where we have this type of repetition in the Torah? By Aklan Pekudei, right? By the Mishkan. By the repetition of Mamish, the same Sukkim, by the Mishkan. Right? So you can say it in either direction. But the Yesod is that if you understand that a marriage is like building a bayis for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why that you have both by marriage and you have by a Mishkan, you have this repetition. Again, why after repetition? I'm not sure. I have some thoughts. But the fact that you only find such repetition in two places, by building a house for Hashem and by getting married, it must be that those two things are the same inyan. That building a house for Hashem is the inyan of getting married, and getting married is the inyan of building a house for Hashem. I think that's why that you have, again, dafk in those two places, you have such an inyan of repetition. Again, what the message of the repetition is a good question, but I think it's clear that if there's two sections in the Torah that are surprisingly repetitive, it's those two inyanim. So we wish Daniel Borden that he should build a bayis nemun and be Yisrael. The Havarina Bekarov. V'nevar mashahuskar nesuin. So let's explain. Why is it that Yitzchak and Rivka's nesuin is in the Torah? Ki kol maisa avos reshumim b'Torah. Maisa avos im labanim, right? V'heim asu reshim labanim. U'mashalo hizkir nesuei Avram im Sarah b'Torah. K'mo shel Yitzchak and Rivka. What about Avram and Sarah? Why don't we have information about their marriage? Ki ve'eis ha'nesuin ha'yishamo Avram u'shama Sarai. Because Avraham and Sarah never got married. Avram and Sarai got married. Vashemos heim shoresh l'neshamos. And one's name is deeply connected to one's neshama. As we've said many, many times in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that if you look at the word neshama, nun, shin, mem, hey, what's the inner letters of your neshama? Middle two letters is shame, is your name. Because your name is the inner essence of your neshama. So the fact that what? That marriage, which is the binding of you to the other half of your soul, the fact that Avram and Sarai got married, and that's not who we know Avraham and Sarah, so therefore, Alonis Kaimu B'Shemosam, they didn't keep their old names. Ki Achar Kach Nishtanu Shemosam Likra Avraham V'Sara, V'Gam Nishmasam Nishtana. And when you change your name, you change your essence, your whole soul undergoes a transformation. Lachein Aziv Ukshal Avram V'Sarai Lo Namar B'Torah. We don't need to learn about the marriage of Avram and Sarai. The zivug of Avram and Sarai, again, in real time, the people, Avram and Sarai, when they got married, right, that marriage never lasted. It didn't last because Avram and Sarai became Avraham and Sarah. And again, the people Avraham and Sarah never got married in the Torah. Right? The biological people, Avraham and Sarah, never got married. Avram and Sarai got married. Okay, so since they underwent a change, Avram and Sarai didn't have children. Dafka Avram and Sarah had a marriage. Okay, so it got cut out of the Torah because it was before the name change. But then the Bereshit says, okay, so that's interesting. But then he says something gevaldik. Why did Avraham have to change his name? Why did Yitzchak not have to change his name? And why did Yaakov have to get a second name? That's a good question. That's Mamashi Yisoda's the question. Meaning, on a pnimius level, to understand why Avraham had to change names, why Yitzchak didn't have to change names, and why Yaakov kept Yaakov but added the name Yisrael. That's a gevaldic question. It's a really important question. To understand the pnimius. And again, you'll see how a person's name is deeply connected to the very essence of their soul. And next time you go to a bris, and you hear a baby being named, and you're thinking, you know, and you think about your own name. It's very important. Think about your name. What are the kochos that are contained within my name? Why do my parents, with their Ruach HaKodesh, give me the name that they gave me? There's a lot to think about there. And it's really kedai to darshan one's name. One's name makes a, again, in Pnimius Svarim, for sure it's true. Even in the Gemara, the Brachos Tav Zayin. Rabbi Yochanan says, Minayin Deshmei Garim, how do you know your name causes things? Right? All of the, everyone in the Torah is named based on events. A name is deeply connected to the essence of your mission. So let's see. Umash nishtana shem Avraham v'Sara v'lo shem Yitzchak ki mida sacheset mor al hispashtus shal behiras habore baruch. What's the mida of Avraham? His mida is chesed. V'hispashtus k'shebala olam tzrichal litzamtzem es atzmo. But like we said, the danger of chesed is a very expansive mida. Right? Avram's tent is open on all sides. Avram loves all of humanity. Avram's kulo chesed. A lot of love, a lot of hispashtus, a lot of expansion. But there's a very great danger in that. A person has to know how to what? How to be expansive and be controlled and contained at the same time. I'll tell you something I realized on Sukkot. Can I have a sitter? Anyone have a sitter?
Yeah.
I realized on Sukkot something. I have a new kavanah in Musaf every Shabbos now. There's no Shabbos in here? That's fine. I know what the two words are. I'm just going to read in the whole context. We say in Musaf, Vatita'inu bigvulenu. It's like a valid phrase. What does that mean, Vatita'inu bigvulenu? Right? Plant us in our borders, which means, I guess, that a Jew should shavu banam l'gvulam. But v'titaenu, titaenu means to sprout. Titaenu means a plant that's going to produce fruit, to be expanding, to be growing. But a gvul is restrained. A gvul is a border. To be able to be expansive, but within borders, you know, that's a very chashuv thing. I mean, a person has to know the limits. You know, there's people who just want to make every mitzvah available to every person. It's against the halacha. So they're sprouting. They have that gevaldic desire to be expansive with their Yiddishkeit, but they've lost all sense of there's a framework of halacha. And there's some people who are so rigid in the way that they see things that there's no room to grow. To be able to be growing and to be contained is a very chashuv thing. Vatiteinu bigvuleinu. So Avram Avinu, whose whole midah is sprouting, is growing, is flourishing, is hispashtus, is chesed. Right? Chesed is compared to water. Right? Water, you pour water out, it just spreads. It spreads and it spreads and it spreads. It'll continue to spread outward. So Avram, whose midah is hispashtus, needs simsum, he needs restraint. Vatiteinu bigvuleinu, he needs to be able to grow within boundaries. Uvihiras nismait kol masha yorid me olam la olam kadeshia yuchal lakaba. And as Tzimtzum takes place, right, the behiras, so to speak, again, as you come down, as your neshama, let's say, comes down through the worlds, it gets less and less clear. There's a Tzimtzum that's taking place. Vizeh Avraham. Shinishtana shemo me Avram la Avraham. Ki Avram nikra kodim shinispashit bezeha olam. Vaya behiraso gedola. Va'achar shinispashit bezeha olam. Nisamsein behiraso v'nismait. Lachein nikra b'shem achar shuhu Avraham. Now it's interesting, his name got bigger. But in terms of his avoda, it got smaller. Right? Originally, he's Av Hamon Goyim. He's focused on the whole world. He's spreading out across the whole universe, trying to be Makariv people. But then, like I think I mentioned the other week from Nissen Alpert, a student of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Lamudei Nissan, that he says that what happened when Avram is asking advice, right, from Mamre, should I do the Bris Milah, should I not do the Bris Milah? In the end, he does the Bris Milah, even though he knows that he's going to lose his connection with many people in the world. Because they're going to say, we're not doing that. But he's deepening his connection with his son. So that's Tzimtzum. He's getting more focus. He's no longer this, you know, universal type of person. He's building the Jewish family. So Avram went from a state of hispashtus, and he underwent a change, and that change, Avraham, again, his name got bigger, he added a letter, but in terms of his avoda, it got much more focused. So that's why Avram needs to change. What about Yitzchak? What's Yitzchak's avoda? Aval Yitzchak, shemor ala Tzimtzum. Yitzchak is what? Is Midas Adin. Yitzchak is already tied down plenty. Meaning what? Meaning Yitzchak is physically tied at the Akedah. Yitzchak never leaves Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak barely talks in the Torah. Yitzchak is plenty. Has plenty of restraint. We don't need to restrain him anymore. So therefore, lo nishtana me'olam la'olam. L'chei nikra shemo k'mo shahaya v'lo nishtana klal. Avram, who starts in a very expansive place, has to be narrowed, has to be focused. But Yitzchak, who's already so focused, you don't have to change him. He's not undergoing that transformation. So Yitzchak keeps his name. However, Avram, before he again was contained, he was called Avram. Klomer Avram. Shuba Olam Shalamala. Sha'olam Shalamala Nikra Ram. He came from a very lofty place. And then after he spread out, he had to be again more contained. He came from a very lofty place to a more contained place. Jump to the next paragraph. V'Yaakov, what about Yaakov? So like we learned, the Yaakov is the blend of Avram and Yitzchak. So what does Yaakov have to do? Yaakov has to keep his name and change his name. You hear? You hear that's a blend? Avram changes his name, Yitzchak keeps his name. So Yaakov has to keep his name and change his name because he's the blend of Avram and Yitzchak. He's the mamutza. He gets to keep his original name and he needs to change his name as well. Okay, for the sake of time, I won't read the next part inside. But that's the secret of the three names. The Avram, who's chesed has to be controlled. Tzimtzum, Yitzchak, whose din is already controlled, doesn't need to be narrowed any further. Right? And Yaakov, who's the blend of the two, keeps his name Yaakov. That's like Yitzchak, who keeps his name. And he takes on a new name, Yisrael, like Avram, who undergoes a change. Because Yaakov, again, is the blend of Yitzchak and Avram. Yeah. Right, so that's a good question. That's a good, very good question. Is Yaakov, I knew that's what you were going to ask. Is Yaakov the name of that's connected Yitzchak, so to speak, and Yisrael the name that's connected Avram? Good question. Not sure. I think I can argue in both directions.
Is Avram alive when he was renamed?
He might talk about it in the next paragraph. Could be he talks about it in the next paragraph. But you could argue it in both ways. You could say Yaakov is the more connected to Yitzchak name, but you could also say Yaakov is more connected to Avram, and Yisrael is maybe more connected to... I'm more inclined to say it like you're saying, that Yaakov is connected to Yitzchak, and Yisrael is connected to Avram. But I think you could argue maybe in a couple directions on that. Yeah?
Allow me to speculate without any real knowledge.
Okay, you can speculate quickly.
I think that it makes sense that what you just said, that Yaakov would be Yitzchak, as opposed to both the original name, that Yisrael would
right.
be Avram, because
right.
they're both changing.
Right, so that's definitely, you can definitely make that case. Definitely make that case. Okay? Okay, let's jump ahead four pieces. Ra'o ra'inu ki haya Hashem imach. Avimelech is impressed and sees you've got God on your side. Do a couple more pieces, chaver, three more pieces. We'll call it a day. Ra'o ra'inu, short pieces. Ra'o ra'inu ki haya Hashem imach. What page? Who's got it?
Like
Samach. Okay. Ra'o ra'inu. Chevra, we're going to learn about the importance of seeing tzaddikim. When you see a tzaddik, it changes your life. No? Good Matthew, no? Saw the Stuchino and Sukkot, change your life forever. Permanently. No backsies. You see a tzaddik, there's no turning back. It changes your life. So look what happened. Ra'o ra'inu. Ki haya Hashem imach. Just by seeing you, we see that God is with you. When Avram looks up, Vayar, Vayaratz, the Krasam, he sees his angels in the distance and he runs towards them. Sheheiru Sichlo. When you see an angel, even if he's described, even if he's, what's the word of labor? He's disguised. Disguised as an Arab, right? You still know that it's an angel. You can tell you're in the presence of an angel. Kikesh Adam Mistaka, but Sadik, Nitoisiv Behiris Ala Adam. When a person encounters a tzaddik, it gives you much greater clarity. You can make much better decisions about your life sitting in front of the Lubavitcher Rebbe than you can sitting in your dorm room. Right? You can make much greater decisions sitting in front of Rav Shechter than you can sitting in front of your English professors. Because when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, there's a clarity of life. The things that you can rationalize when you're not in the face of the tzaddik, when you're in the face of the tzaddik, when you're in the presence of the tzaddik, much easier. The presence of your Rebbe, it's much easier to have a clarity. Because you're thinking in a Torah-tic way. Again, when a person stares at the tzaddik, he has a clarity. That's why there's an obligation to visit one's Rebbe on the regalim. So Avram sees these angels and he runs to them. Because it's very obvious to them that these are very, very special guests. Ayin Sham. Vizeu Shekosav Kan. And that's what it means. When they say about Yitzchak, Ra'o Ra'inu, Ki Haya Hashem Imach. Ra'o Ra'inu, it's easy for us to see. Kefa Lashon, Klomar. Ayidei Ra'iya Shelcha, just by seeing you, Shara'inu Oscha, Nitosev Lanu Ra'iya Acheres. How's he learning the double Lashon? Ra'o Ra'inu. Ra'o Ra'inu, by seeing you, we see differently. Just by seeing you, my whole perspective, the way I see things, right, so to speak, my mind's eye has been changed. My whole hashkafas hachaim is different. The things that I thought were important, once I came to face with the tzaddik, I realized it was shtusim and havalim. It was not nonsense. The tzaddik gives a clarity. Shebistaklu seinu beziv kedushascha. Just by seeing the tzaddik, heyir ein sichla seinu v'hiras gadol nitosef lanu. To such a degree that we can say about you, it's clear to us that Haya Hashem Imach, that it's obvious to us that Hashem is with you. And again, that's why it's really important to take the opportunities to meet chashuv people, holy people, righteous people, and just by looking in the face of the tzaddik, a person is changed. Same way the Gemara in Megillah says, I think it's Daf Chavav, that it's usher to stare at the face of a rasha, because that also has a negative effect on a person. So staring at the face of the tzaddik has a positive effect on the person. Okay? Next little piece. Im ta'aseh imanu ra kasher lo niga'anucha. So they say, would you do bad to us? After all, we haven't touched you. We haven't harmed you. So you have to be good to us the same way we were good to you. Nira ki yadua vashakosa balaturim. Now, it's interesting that Avimelech is talking so from what a good guy he is. The Balaturim reveals to us that Avimelech ratza lasos ra li Yitzchak. How could you do bad to us? We didn't do anything bad to you. You didn't do anything bad to us, but you wanted to. It's not for Hashem's protection. Avimelech ratza lasos ra li Yitzchak. Efes shashem yizbarach hafchu l'tova. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu transforms all bad things in this world into good things. Good is not always easy to see, but if Hashem does it, then it's good. Hashem Yisbarach Mahafech Kol HaRaos LaTova. Hashem transforms all negative things into positive things. Ayin Shem. V'zeo Shem Rabbi Melech. And that's what Rabbi Melech was saying to Yitzchak. Im Ta'aseh Imanu Ra. Shem Tirtza Lahara Lanu. If you want to do bad to us, Vada Yishapech LaTova. If you try to do bad to us, it's going to be turned into something good. Why? V'haraya Kasher Lo Niga'anucha. The same way we weren't able to touch you. We wanted to harm you. Hashem only knows how to make things good. So mida keneged mida, right? Just like when we tried to harm you, nothing happened. You should just realize if you try to harm us, nothing's going to happen. And whether or not that's true, that Avimelech would have the protection that Yitzchak had, may or may not be true. But it's important to realize that your enemies can't harm you unless Hashem wants them to harm you. There's nothing to be afraid of in this world except for Kadosh Baruch Hu. No one can be harmed by chance. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and even things that seem to be out to harm you can, in fact, in the end, work out very positively for a person. Okay, and last but not least, the final piece for today. If you jump towards the a little later in the parsha, find the piece that says Gam Baruch Hiya, and go back two paragraphs before that. Vitzarach Lahavin. Who's got it? Gam Baruch Hiya. Two paragraphs before that. Samach Gimel. You see Tzarech Lahavin? Do you have that as a paragraph? It's Tzarech. Three lines on the bottom of Samach Beis. You have Tzarech Lahavin. Last but not least, of course, one of the most important and famous scenes in this week's Parsha is Yaakov receiving the brachos from Yitzchak. And with a lot of confusion, a lot of pressure, and a lot of uncertainty, Yaakov gets those brachos without Yitzchak really understanding what's going on. And many, many Sfarim HaKadoshim, Sefer Chassidus, want to understand why was it necessary for Yaakov to get the brachos Shalom Midas. Sort of against his will, without Yitzchak's understanding. Very, very strange way to receive such a powerful bracha. Says the Berditchever, V'tzorach lahavin masher kosev haramban, shabracha hi shalom l'das. We need to understand, why did the bracha, the ultimate bracha, from Yitzchak to Yaakov come about shalom l'das? Without awareness. You would think that would take away from the bracha. So kavana, the bracha wasn't geared towards Yaakov per se. Yitzchak's very confused as to who he's giving the bracha to. Dine Arizal kosev al pasuk eis asher shalat ta'odom bi'odom liralo. The Arizal explains the pasuk in Koheles. Eis asher shalat ha'odom bi'odom liralo. What does that mean, odom bi'odom? When Hashem wants to send down a holy soul to this world, Hashem has to first sometimes send that neshama by way of tumah. Why? Because if Hashem makes a big announcement, I'm sending a holy neshama down to the world, the sitra achra, the yitzhara, is not gonna go for it. So very often we find that holy things emerge from unusual places. I told you, we're going to see a piece in this week's parsha, where holiness emerges in unusual ways. Mashiach. Mashiach comes from very strange places. Rus and Boaz, Lot and his daughters. Very, very strange places. But that's the klal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides holy things in unusual places to not draw too much attention, that there shouldn't be an ayin ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishirot zelitin neshama kadosh al olam atachto. And again, when Hashem wants to send a holy soul to this world, tzarech litin mikodem amakom tumah. He first places it in an unholy place. Shem Yitain take up his Olam, because if Hashem sends it straight to this world, as I Midas Adin Chas Hashol Ma'akev, the Midas Adin says, no way, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Aval Kishenosin Tchila Al Makom Tumah, but when Hashem first gives it into a place of Tumah, then the Sitra Achra, the Yitzhahara, the Satan, or whatever you want to call it, is not paying as much attention. Midas Adin can't stop it as much. Not that Midas Adin is independent of God and can stop it, but this is how Hashem runs the world. They think that this holy soul is going to be on the dark side. Now realizing that there's going to be a ma'apecha from that world of Tumah, an amazing neshama is going to somehow emerge. Right? And it's going to catch the Yitzhahara off guard, and it's going to be matzliach. But it has to hide first in Tumah to avoid drawing too much attention to itself. Azai ein midas adin ma'akev, and that way midas adin can't prevent it from happening. About the MS ein hadavar kein. But the truth of the matter is that it's not so. Meaning what? But it's not what the Yitzhahara thinks, that if it starts off in Tumah, it's going to stay in Tumah. It's hiding in Tumah. But eventually it's going to burst forth. Right? That the level of the tzaddik will emerge. It'll break through all of that klipa. It'll shatter all of that Tumah. And will be transformed. Like Avraham, who started off where? Terach. That was a hideout for Avraham. That was the greatest Jew, arguably, of all time, hiding in the home of one of the greatest idolaters of all time. V'achakach, how do you see that Avraham? This is what I like. He's a very interesting. He says, how does Avraham break out of Orkastim? He has to literally break. He smashes the idols. By smashing the tzlamim, by smashing his father's idols, that's how he breaks out. He cracks the klipa, the shell. Yeah? He's able to free himself from that shell. So too David HaMelech comes from Lot. Comes from a world of utter destruction, Sodom. Lot and his daughters, Arayos. Incest. A disgustingly low place. And yet, Dafka from that place, David HaMelech and Mashiach comes. And that's why, Lezer Radav Avram Avinu Achar HaMelechim V'Haragosam. Avram, the Ish Chesed, has to go and fight and shatter and break and destroy. Yes, you know why? Because he's shattering all the klipa to extract what? A holy spark. That's why he fought the battle of the four kings and the five kings. Why? Kedei lahatzil nishmas David asher haya belot. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't shattering things to save Lot. He was saving Lot to save David HaMelech. That's what Avram was after. V'zeo shekosav ha'arizal kavanas ha'kosav, and that's what this pasuk is hinting to. There's a time that a person rules over another person, meaning there's a person within a person. There's an Avram within a Terach. There's a Mashiach and a David HaMelech within Lot. That's what the pasuk in Kohelis is saying. What does that mean? At first it looks like what? That this person is totally dominated by the Klipa, with the Vesov, who Ralo so Adam. But in the end, what? It turns out bad for that person. Meaning it turns out bad for the external person. That Terach is going to be shattered for Avram to emerge. The four kings and the five kings will try to capture Lot, hold him hostage. They're going to be shattered. So David HaMelech can emerge. Shemeshaber kol kochas atuma sha'oso Adam sha'yishalit mitchila. That the Adam ba'Adam, right? You thought you had dominance, it's going to end up being bad for you. Because you're just a decoy. You're just being used to hide the neshama of the tzaddik, who eventually will emerge. And that's why, says the Berditchever, a beautiful pshat, you'll remember this hopefully for the rest of your life, why does Yaakov need to get the best brachas of all time in such a crazy way? The answer is, v'zeu ha-remez shebishvil kach lo ratza Yitzchak levareches Yaakov teikav. Yitzchak didn't want to give the brachas directly to Yaakov. It's too obvious, too much kedusha in one place. It's going to attract too much attention of the Midas Hadin and the Sitra Achra. Kideish Midas Hadin Yisbur Shabrach Ya'alav. We want the Yitzhar to think that the brachas are going where? To an Esav. V'lu Yikatriv Chas V'Shalom V'Yakev HaBracha. And that way the bracha will not be held back. V'lificha Hiratza Mitzchil Lavarech Es Esav. And that's why Yitzhar wanted to start off by blessing who? By giving the bracha to Esav. Havah Be'emes Ikra HaBracha Hu Shor Al Yaakov. But in truth, the main bracha was always destined for Yaakov. Ki hu meshaber is called kochas ha-tumah, because Yaakov would be the one to shatter the tumah and to take and to bring out the brachos. V'yitein Hashem yisbarach tovos hu brachos amen. So Mirtz Hashem, we're living in a time We're living in Galus Edom. Galus Edom is the final klipa. This is it, chavra. We're wrapping up world history. Which animal is Edom compared to? Okay, just one last little Torah I was thinking last night. Edom is compared to which animal? Galus Edom is compared to which animal? No? Of the tame animals, the four tame animals described by the Torah. The pig. Right? V'es ha-chazir is Galus Edom. Galus Edom is compared to a chazir. What's the gematria of chazir? Ches, Zion, Yod, Resh. 225. Chazir, right? The final Galus, which the Chazal say is Keneged Kulam, is the Chazir. It's the biggest klipa of all. Chazir is the biggest klipa of all. What's the gematria of klipa? Klipa means a shell, a husk. Klipa means whatever is this, what he's describing here. The thing that's holding back. Kuf Lamed Yod Pei Hei. 225. Gematria Chazir. Right? Chazir, the pig, is the biggest klipa. It's the biggest klipa. Galus Edom, that's why it's the longest Galus. Bava wasn't this long. Purim, Parsu Madai wasn't this long. Yavan wasn't this long. Galus Edom, 1900 plus years and counting. Because it's a big klipa. It's very hard to break out of this klipa. Right? That's why there's a lot of tumah that's covering over the unbelievable aura of Mashiach, which is any day now, is going to, maybe today, is going to burst forth into the world. But there's a very, very thick klipa. But even this klipa can be transformed, right? And that's what we know as a chazir. What do Chazal say about the chazir? That it's also going to be chozer. It's also going to be, the pig's going to be kosher, lasad lava, whatever that means exactly. And maybe that's why there's all sorts of fake bacon today and things like that. It's a hakdama to the geula. But anyways, even this ultimate klipa will be shattered. And Amir Tashem, Amir Tashem, Amir Tashem, we should be zochet to see with our own eyes. B'karav b'yameinu. Let me just finish.